Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
That's all I need to know about you.
It's Anna and Raven. If you truly believe that NASA issued a statement yesterday that because of gravitational pull, you can only stand a broom up yesterday, that's all I need to know about you.
All right. Here's the thing, all right? You want to exploit my sense of wonderment and astonishment that happened last night, late night in my kitchen. I was not aware that the story was issued from our most noble of enterprises, NASA.
It's not.
As you say.
It's a hoax.
My wife grabbed me as I was headed to the bedroom after brushing my teeth at the end of the evening and said, wait, wait, we've got to do this. Went downstairs and stood the broom up. And we have one of those leaning brooms with the angled brush thing.
Yep.
Seemed believable enough to me. It was sorcery. It was the magic of Fantasia with Mickey Mouse in my kitchen.
Yep.
And now you want to ruin it.
Well, I'm just telling you, it's not a real thing. It's one of those bogus internet things. So this has happened
like
many times in the past.
Like the shark that swims down a main street after a hurricane?
Right. So people were falling for this all day yesterday, including Raven. I kept seeing it pop up on social media, and I'm like, what is this broom challenge? People thought that NASA issued a thing where you could stand a broom up. Turns out you could stand a broom up any day. You just have to try.
Seems fake.
We just did it in the studio.
Well, it
with the broom.
And it fell down when I walked in.
Because it's an old broom.
Oh, so now you're a scientist? So now you're blaming it on ageism with the broom? I don't know.
That's all I need to know about you.
Listen, NASA got a big budget increase yesterday. Uh-huh. It makes sense that they would put out a news article like this to let everybody know, remind everybody what it exactly is that they're here for.
To stand up brooms.
Right.
Were you able
imagine how busy it must have been in NASA yesterday.
Yep. Uh-huh.
I mean, every office you went by, somebody had a broom. How many brooms do they have at NASA?
Did you try to fly on your broom?
No, it was late at night.
Oh,
as I said, I was in my boxer briefs at that point.
Oh, so you didn't want to take it for a spin around the universe?
Private moment.
No,
everybody has a surveillance camera nowadays. You want to avoid situations like that.
Yeah, yeah. Here's the thing. If you try to stand up a broom today and you can do it, it's because it's fake. NASA never said anything like that.
If you say so, I guess I'll just have to take your word for it.
1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
I got to tell you guys are awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Every day. Honey, let me tell you, me personally, if the guy's teeth look funky, their nails look dirty, and their sneakers are dirty, that's all I need to know about you.
So, right? I've got a friend who believes that if a man's sneakers are out of shape, that is an indicator that their life is in complete disarray.
100%.
Yeah.
That's 100%. Right. And he's dirty.
Right. That is the biggest, it's the first thing that they have to take care of to be, accepted in the public. If not, that person's on the edge.
I know.
When I started dating my husband, he used to wear white slouch socks and rugged old sneakers. And I remember thinking, do I really want to take the time on this guy?
So you had to fix him.
Right.
You had to fix him.
Now, here's the thing. I was able to fix him.
Right.
Because he was still young at the time.
Right.
But
past a certain age. Yes.
I think after 29, you can't change him anymore.
You just have to accept that that's what they're going to be the rest of their lives.
Yep.
Right.
I agree with you guys 100%.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Yes. You're right. This is a public service.
You're welcome. Have a great one, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, I love you guys.
Do you think venues should be able to confiscate your phone during performances? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text Santa and Raven.
Anna went to a fancy, fancy show the other night.
Well, Book of Mormon. I wouldn't call it fancy. It was a Broadway show.
Well, kind of fancy. People were looking at their phones, cheating.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is at the beginning of Book of Mormon and a lot of Broadway shows, they say you to turn off your phone.
Sure.
And I am such a bad person that in my mind something terrible is going to happen at the house.
You're the one person who's the exception needs to be made for, right?
So
you believe in your mind that if you just keep it discreetly down, you can break the rules.
So I just put it face down on my lap because I think something's going to happen at home. My daughter's going to have to reach me. Like all these things that when we were growing up was never even an issue because we didn't have these cell phones,
Right.
So I just put it on silent, put it on my lap, and every once in a while when it would slightly vibrate, I would just tilt it up to make sure that it wasn't like a text message or something important, and then I'd put it right back. back down.
Right. It was probably a Twitter notification.
It was. A lot of Huffington Post, CNN, that kind of thing.
When they came out and they asked you to silence the cell phones at the beginning, was it an announcement over the speakers or did one of the actors come out and do it in an accent?
No, it was an announcement over the speakers.
I always thought the accent would drive the point home more.
Well, you know, the thing that I find interesting is that there's a lot of places on Broadway now and a lot of comedians like Dave Chappelle, Amy Schumer, Chris Rock, and even concerts that you go to. I know the Lumineers do it, Alicia Keys, Madonna does it. And they take your phone and they put it in what it's called a yonder.
Okay.
Okay. And it's like, it looks like,
imagine, what's a yonder?
Like, imagine a beer koozie. You know those koozies that you put over the can of your beer?
Sure.
But it's like one of those for your cell phone that zippers, like a pouch.
Okay.
And they take your phone.
Does it lock?
Yeah, it locks.
Okay.
And you give it to them.
What's it called?
A yonder.
Oh.
And you don't get it back.
Then they put
to
your
the
phone yonder over there.
Well, right. But even a lot of schools have started implementing this where they take these phones and they're confiscating them so people stay present in the moment. So some of it is done for legal reasons, too. They don't want you to film the show. They don't want things to show up on YouTube. But also because they want people going to be more present in the moment.
Listen, all right? If you wanted to party with Chris Brown or Justin Bieber or Prince Harry back in their heydays when they were running around Las Vegas and doing nude parties over by a pool table and he's a ginger and he's red all over, ladies and gentlemen, then they were collecting these phones before. Bodyguards were doing this outside of the parties you wanted to go to anyways.
But let's talk about the actual show. If you go to a show, would you want to have to give up your phone? And would you be comfortable doing it? I saw Anna Wintour from Vogue, who's incredibly famous. She went to a fashion show. They took her phone.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's legit. They're going to take her phone. But then there's people like Richard Marx. He actually tweeted the other day, been hearing more and more about artists who are trying to ban cell phones at their gigs. While I agree that cell phone recording is the opposite of being quote unquote present, if you pay money to come see me play live, you can pretty much do whatever the blank you want.
Ah, Richard Marx. He's got the voice of an angel in his app.
And he could care less if you're texting during this. Imagine it's Valentine's Day.
Shh, I'm recording.
Hold on, quiet. I'm posting this on my Instagram feed. It's on my story.
I'm a break.
Should I tag Richard Marx?
Nothing bothers that guy because his hair was so perfect. I mean, that thing is just feathered fantastically.
1-800-330-9999. If you went to any kind of show and they wanted to take your phone, would you have a problem with that? What do you think? So there's these thing, they're called yonders, and they basically look like beer koozies, but they're pouches that you put your phones in. And a lot of different venues in Manhattan, a lot of different concerts, comedians have started using them for when you go, they take your phone so you can't record. But also artists are saying the reason why they're doing it is they want you to be more present in the moment of what's going on at the show. I went to a Broadway show this past weekend, and I almost had a panic attack when I thought about putting my phone away, which I 100% realize is insane.
Right.
I understand
so
that.
So you didn't. You thought that you were an exception to the rule.
Not an exception, but I kept my phone face down on my lap in between my legs. And when I'm afraid something's going to happen to the baby.
Right, because the phone police have never seen anybody do that, where they just only look when it vibrates. Right.
I also would never try to snap a picture. I would never try to record something. Like, it's just in case somebody needs to reach me and it's an emergency. But there's so many places now that are just taking them at the beginning of the show. And we're wondering, what do you think about that? We check our text line, 1-800-330-9999. And let's see your text. Yes, venues should take phones. It's about respect to the performers and to those around you. Check your phone at intermission or wait until the end of the show. I always turn off my phone, and I even will put it in a bag, which is highly unusual for me.
Yeah, I think that, again, if you want the experience, the full experience, then you have to give it every opportunity it has to give you a little bit of, disconnect from your regular life.
Yeah.
Which leaving the phone would be a big part of that.
1-800-330-9999. What do you think about it? We're going to get your calls coming up next. Do you think venues should be able to confiscate your phone during performances? 1-800-330-9999. Santa and Raven, this all comes up because this past weekend I was at a Broadway show and they said to silence your phones and put them away, which immediately gave me a panic attack.
Right.
Because I was like, nope, I'm going to put it face forward down on my lap in between my legs so no one can see it, but I'm going to put it on vibrate. So if my kids need to reach me, I'm going to just take a little peek and see what's going on.
And every time it buzzed, it was actually somebody on Twitter, Instagram, just giving a like or a comment to something like that. But you figured you were special and you were the exception.
No,
you would do it responsibly.
Well, I would never do it to disrupt somebody else, and I would never record something I wasn't supposed to record. But
it could be.
A lot of comedians and artists, we talked about it earlier, have come forward and they've started taking phones at the door. They're called Yonder pouches, mm-hmm. and it's actually the only ones in the game right now. They're the only ones that make them.
Big money, Yonder. Yeah. Get that payday. It basically, it's a little you know, sack that your phone goes in, zips up, closes, and locks.
Security
most of the time.
Takes it. Security takes it at the end of the show. You get in line and you get it back. And I was wondering, should you be able to do this? Because I'm not really comfortable with that, to be honest.
Let's be fair. This is a velveteen sack where it's in there, locked and secure. Maybe the phone doesn't even resent it, really.
I just feel very uncomfortable not being able to check in or know if something is happening in the world. You know, it, even when I go get my eyelashes filled, which is 1 hour every month, I have to text my mom, my husband, and let my kids know, including the babysitter, that I'm going to be unreachable for an hour, which now when
it's
I say it out loud...
Because you can't even peek at right. your phone because there's things going into your eyeballs.
Right, because my eyes are shut. Can you imagine how insane that sounds when you say it out loud?
Yeah, you just said it out loud and I'm here for it.
1-800-330-9999. Do you think venues should be able to confiscate your phone during performances?
Hi, I'm not sure, but I'm going to be seeing Alicia Keys in August at Radio City Music Hall in New York City. And I didn't know that she has that rule, so that's kind of interesting. Because, like, I don't have, I'm not really sure exactly how I feel about it, but, I mean, I agree with you. Like, I'm the type of person that, like, gets worried about, like, what if something happens and someone has to get in touch with me? You know, I'm like that, too. So I kind of feel that, I kind of feel like you do.
I think that once you're past the thought process of there's not some teenage hacker in the back that's cloning yeah. every single person here's phone, I think that, the you know, the experience of the show lends itself more towards that. What if Alicia Keys puts that rule in, you keep it thinking you're yeah. special, and at some point, while she's doing that dueling pianos thing, she just jumps off the stage and leaps on top of you and goes, I told you no phone!
I mean, I just feel like no, if an artist feels that passionately that they don't want you to have your phone, then you should either A, not go to the show, or you should B, right. just do what they want you to do. Anna and Raven, what do you think about this?
Oh, man, I can't stand it. Like, some venues are very chill about it, but you go to, like, the Beacon Theater, and they're back and forth up and down the aisles like you're in jail. They're flashing lights at you. Forget videos or pictures. You can't even look at your phone. And it's like, it's a concert. Like, I don't know. You pay $150 a ticket. You should be able to take a picture of the band you're seeing. You know, I don't know. Like, you don't want to be a celebrity? Well, then they'll go out there and perform.
Yeah, courtesy is, it's, you would think courtesy should be paramount in most people's minds, especially if you respect an artist. Like, you want to get your photo, but you don't really want to distract them from their performance. There's something about people being overzealous with security. I've seen that at comedy clubs, and it ruins the entire vibe.
Yeah, thank you for the call. Anna and Raven, what do you think about cell phones being banned, being confiscated when you go to a show?
I think it's total BS, because it's a freedom of speech. When they take away your phone, I was thinking about you're talking about your kid, they might want to text you. What if they also want to try getting into your phone's information? They might try putting your password in, seeing the kind of information that's on your phone. They get into your phone and they can screw around with it and take your personal information away.
Yeah, what if the person working security wants to send texts from my phone of inappropriate pictures? Like, no one even thought about that. That's,
I mean,
that's actually not true.
Passcode. Yeah, true. Good, right?
Right. I guess there's a passcode.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's that.
Up to six digits if you want. I mean, this person making minimum wage in the coat check phone collection area would have to be a genius.
Right.
But you're right. I mean, the possibilities out there could happen.
1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. What do you think? Do you think they should be allowed to take your phones? Just reading all these text messages, people are so divided. It's crazy, Raven. So we've been talking about whether or not venues should be able to confiscate your phone at the start of a performance, because there's a lot of stand-up comedians, Dave Chappelle, Amy Schumer, Chris Rock, that have started implementing this, where they take your phone, they put it in these Yonder pouches, and then you can't unlock it until the end. But the question is, should they be able to do that? Like, shouldn't you, if it's your phone and you want to take your phone out and check your text messages, what's the problem with that?
I mean, when you enter somebody else's place, I mean, anything on any ticket will tell you that they reserve the right, basically, to regulate that area how they want. Me personally, I don't have a problem with it. I think it lends itself to the experience.
I think also that you don't have an addiction to your cell phone like most people do.
You're
like
right.
I do.
I turn it off, man. Like, if I go on vacation, it goes in the safe the day I arrive, and it doesn't come out unless there's an emergency or maybe a weekend. When I check in. Yeah. A lot of people do not live that way.
One of these text messages says, cell phones are addiction. People should be able to have their phones at venues, but if a person doesn't abide by the rules, then security should have the right to take it away.
I don't need your cell phone junkiness next to me, okay?
We're going to get to your calls. 1-800-330-9999 coming up next with Anna and Raven. You go to a concert or a comedy show, you walk in, you know, they check your purse, they make sure everything is on the up and up, and then they tell you, we're also going to need to confiscate your phone for the duration of the performance.
I don't have a problem with it. When I walk into a place, right, when I'm hanging out with The Rock, or El Presidente, or whoever it is that you may encounter out there. There's an NDA, right? There's a security guy at the front. He's collecting cell phones. Ain't no witnesses here.
Yeah, but you're not hanging out with The Rock. You're going to see Dave Chappelle.
How do you know?
You're going to see Amy Schumer. You're going to see Chelsea Handler. And all of a sudden, now you got to give up your phone? Like, what if my kids need me? What if something happens?
Oh, nobody needs you.
Tana and Raven. That's been happening a lot lately, is that these venues have been using these Yonder pouches, and they've been asking people to seal their phones and not use them until intermission or until the end of the performance. And the question is should venues have the right to do this?
So you went out the other night. You survived it. All your children survived. It was okay.
Yeah, except I didn't put my phone away. I completely disobeyed the rules and put it face down in my lap and pretended like I wasn't checking it.
You don't respect artistry.
1-800-330-9999. Do you think venues should be able to confiscate your phone during performances?
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I think they should take your phones. Well, what's going on in the comedy industry is everyone is stealing everyone else's ideas and jokes, and it's kind of like they're protecting their copyright.
Yeah, but that's been going on for years.
I was going to say, this is like, you know, music, too. I mean, there's no note that hasn't been played before.
Well, comedy, it's a little bit different.
Absolutely, but it's getting harder and harder to protect yourself in that industry, and if someone videos your act, you lose what you have. If you need to be contacted in an emergency, give out the venue's contact information. If it's a real emergency, they'll get in touch with you.
That's how they used to handle things back in the day, right?
Thank you.
They would announce you on the PA system at Bradley's or Caldor's.
Halfway through the Book of Mormon,
right.
they show stops, and it's Anna Zapp,
right.
Your daughter needs to know how long to put the chicken nuggets in the microwave for.
Right. We have an urgent message. Your baby pooped green. The babysitter's not sure what to do.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think? Should venues be able to confiscate?
Unless Bob Marley came back from the dead, and then I understand why we're not videoing it, no.
That's right.
I paid my money for my ticket. I feel like I should have the full enjoyment, unless I'm using my phone, you know, to speak to someone and ruining somebody else's enjoyment. Nah, I think I should be able to do what I want. I paid my money to come in.
It's really tough. It goes back and forth. I see both sides. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What do you think?
Hi. I mean, it's honestly, it's your personal opinion, but then it depends. Because if you really schedule everything, you're going to a show. Like, for example, my sister's doing The Color Purple at Foxwoods. It's my first time really going. Had to shut my phone off, keep it in my wallet, and keep it in my pocket. My wife was like, don't turn it on. I'm like, okay. And I see the lady next to me turn her phone on, literally. Dude comes down the aisle, flashes light, takes her phone. I'm like, is it really that serious? And then you think about all the copyrights and all the infringement issues. Like, it's kind of a big deal. You have people who are trying to memorize those lines. If it's a play, yeah, I get it. But if it's a concert, come on. You can't take my phone in a concert of a person who I want to see.
I agree. There could be a difference. Right. I think that a lot of that would depend crowd size for me for a concert, too. Like, if it's an intimate thing, I might want to respect the artist's wishes because I feel it might be more of a distraction. But I think you're right. I think there is a difference between that type of performance. But maybe I'm discounting, you know, Maroon 5's method or concentration. Thank you for the call. It's interesting.
I'm reading something right now that's going to make you very upset.
What is that?
According to KeeperTax.com, the IRS says nothing about paper receipts specifically. It says to keep records that clearly show your transaction, but there is no reason to keep paper receipts. It's the 21st century.
I'm telling you right now, in a clean world, right, a digital world, that might be what they say. But it ain't what they're feeling, girlfriend. If you get in the audit office, you want a pile of receipts just to dump over that worker's head. That says victory.
Tana and Raven, I don't understand Raven's obsession with keeping receipts. Like, it's not like the big purchases, like if you buy a new computer or you buy something that's for your business that's massive. I'm talking about, like, if we go to Wendy's and we pick up like a sandwich, he'll keep a $1.99 receipt.
Yeah, absolutely. I keep every receipt for every purchase I make throughout the entire year. That's no lie. I put them all in a folder, and then at the end of the year, I sort them all. They go into one category or another, and I claim nearly every dollar that I spent. I've been victorious at this, Anna Zapp. Last year, I made out.
So remember how I told you that if you use your credit cards and you use your debit cards, you have those statements?
Oh, no, you want to back up.
No, that's not true. It says any purchase you make with a credit card, bank account, payment platform, etc. are automatically recorded for you in a bank statement. These statements contain all the critical information needed to constitute an expense record.
Are you writing what it is that you use these things for? Because I don't think you are, Anna Zapp. When you've got the handmade receipt, right? When you've got the piecemeal receipt, you write right on it, you put it right in the folder. That's as good as money in the bank.
But Do you really believe that there is somebody in the U.S. government that when you submit your taxes,
right,
that they're going to say, oh, let's get him in here, and right, then they're going to look at your 7,000 receipts that you carry around with
well,
you?
Well, that's exactly the point, because they'd be buried in them. They'd be afraid of those receipts. So they know the man hours they'd have to put in to recover my measly little return, which is nothing to them, but big to me. That's the whole thing. I bury them in a mountain of evidence, Anna Zapp. It's a typical strategy.
When you say things like that, in
born
my mind,
by attrition.
I envision that you believe
yeah,
that like it's like the aliens in Men in Black.
Right.
Where they're all, you know, in that hub where the aliens are doing all the work and
right,
trying to transact
you
with the
you believe
that
that's the home office of the IRS?
That's where the IRS is checking your receipts. That I believe in my mind that you think that there's aliens that are going to be checking your $1.99 chicken sandwich from Wendy's receipts and that they're going to
they
be checking
be
off.
They could try and contend whether or not that's a real deduction there.
I
believe that you have Will Smith on your mind. That's what I believe.
No, I like that's what I think, that you think that there's all these people, aliens, that are just checking these receipts.
Listen,
and there's just no way.
All I'm saying is they might not ask, but if they do, I can track my movements from day to day. And I can tell you each one of the expenses that I did. I could do it for the entire past year if I had to. If I looked at my receipts and my transactions, I can tell you where I was, what I was doing, and how every single purchase is going to come back to me.
Wait a minute. So today is what, February 11th? Let me look at it. Yeah, February 11th.
Yep.
If you look at February 11th, 2019,
yep,
1 year ago today, you can
right,
tell me exactly what you bought, where the receipts are from?
I can tell you everything from that day, essentially, definitely the week. I can tell you exactly what I was doing. No question about
right
it.
Right now?
Yes.
All right, do it.
Oh, right. This well, I
go
mean,
pull
get,
it up.
Right, well, give me 2 seconds.
All right. Well, you have the commercial spots. When we get back from the commercial spots, you got to tell us what you did exactly a year ago today.
I can do that.
All right, go. Raven keeps every single receipt, which I think is incredible because I don't believe there's actually an IRS agent or anyone in the federal government that is going through individually all his fast food receipts.
Well, I'll tell you right now, if they do, they've got another thing coming if they want to go ahead and face off with me, because I can tell you everything that I've been doing, including a year ago today, which was the challenge you just gave me. Right.
So he scans them.
Right.
No, them.
There's no scams. I can just tell you.
No,
every
you scan.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
With your scanner.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I got one of them fancy printers
yep,
now.
Yep.
You just stack them in there, and it goes woot,
yep,
woot, and it eats the receipts.
So what were you doing exactly 1 year ago, according to receipts, February
11, 2019? Personal or business? Which would you like to know first?
I guess personal.
Personal, I was buying a nail grooming clippers for my dogs, 24-count pork roll bones.
Oh.
The plastic sink strainers, you know, those ones that you can never get them at Walmart anymore. They never restock the shelves. So I had to go through Amazon. So then, of course, I had to buy them in bulk. So I got like a dozen of the sink strainers.
I don't even know what that is.
But I got a really good price on it. That's mm-hmm, good. Oh, and the professional animal deluxe clippers, which my dogs won't let me use on them, actually. But,
okay,
you know, what are you going to do? And then for business,
let me see,
we actually had like an acoustic concert going on. And I can tell you that because I snuck fast food in here.
Mm-hmm.
I went to CVS for chocolates.
Hold on. Where'd you go for fast food?
Duchess for fast food. I got the chicken sandwich.
Okay.
Delicious, the chicken sandwich, by the way, if you didn't know. I can see flowers on here for later in the week because you got to go on the Tuesday before Valentine's Day, because if you go on Valentine's Day, they're twice as much.
So wait a minute.
So I would get the flowers.
You got the flowers days in advance? Weren't they
yeah,
dead by the time last
no,
year?
No. I deliver the flowers to my wife and I say, happy Valentine's Day. And she says, it's Thursday. This is last year. It was Thursday. And I said, no. And then I act like I didn't know. But the flowers are really fresh and I paid less for them.
Okay.
I see that I actually sneak more fast food than I thought.
I'm sure.
Oh, here's Freddy's Pizza. I actually had Freddy's Pizza last night. So
okay.
This is kind of strange, right? It's like
all
a
right,
time machine that
okay,
came back
yep,
right here.
You keep all your receipts.
I can categorize each one of those for even the flowers, man. That's home office.
I feel bad for the IRS agent that has to read through your receipts. you're right.
It's
you're
like
right,
a tax time machine. Bring it on, man.
Lori Kelsey is a professional matchmaker serving New York, Connecticut, and New Jersey. It's Anna and Raven.
Hi there.
How are you? Thank you for taking the time this morning.
Oh, you're welcome. I have to tell you, this is the busiest Valentine's Day ever, and I'm trying to analyze it. I think it's because it's falling on a weekend night. It's Friday evening this year. And I just realized Monday is a holiday for a lot of people. So
they could be going long weekend. This could be like Valentine's Day weekend extravaganza, if you will, Anna Zapp.
Hi, Raven. How are you?
Wonderful. Are you stalking people? Are you running people down for other people? Are you keeping people positive? Like, what's the thing you're spending the most time on this week with your clients?
Well, actually, I have like an influx of new people that I have to focus on them too. So I'm planning on seeing if I can use some of the new people to match with my older people.
Oh, look at that. Yeah. Man, that's a Ponzi scheme. That's,
are there?
It's like check kiting right there.
When you're looking, when you're putting a match together, is there something that you're looking for that you think will make a couple spark? Because I feel that a lot of my friends, they try to date people that are similar to them and it doesn't work. So they go the opposite direction. They try to find somebody that's their complete opposite and that doesn't work.
You know, like, what I do is I just go with who's wicked hot. That's what I would do.
Well, you know, I do have that issue with men, Raven. If it's not a match and they've just based their whole attraction on physical looks, ultimately it will fizzle out.
So what is it, the connection you look for between two of your clients?
I go into depth with them, like what type of person they're looking for and what matters to them. It's funny what people think matters to them. Like one lady said, I really want a gentleman that lives close enough to me that he can shovel my driveway out when it snows.
I mean, that's important. Not for nothing, but
that's foresight.
Right.
Just, you know, they're making sure.
But, you know, people want so much these days. It's almost a mistake. I mean, everybody comes in with their laundry list of everything they're looking for, from height to hair color and color eyes. My most extreme case gentleman wanted, like, within 2 inches of height, a lady 5'7 to 5'9.
Oh, he wanted a Rockette. That's, I think, how tall the Rockettes
have
to be.
They're breeding. For all you know, he's picked himself for a professional volleyball player. All right. Professional women's volleyball player, and he needs to make sure that the height requirements are going to be met.
We were speaking to somebody yesterday who called in, and she said that she'll never date a guy that wears shabby shoes. If he wears sneakers that are not in good shape, she knows that that is a red flag. Do you agree with that?
I think that you should dress like a little bit more on the attractive, dressier side for a first meeting. Don't lose points over you've worn your worn-out sneakers, right?
So the answer is yes. You never trust a guy wearing shabby sneakers.
Clearly.
Well, of course, if it's Brad Pitt, you could perhaps overlook it, right?
Well.
Right. So there's a slide scale. I get that. I've seen that. The crazy quotient before.
Yep.
Versus the hotness. It's on YouTube.
So what advice would you have for somebody that's single this Valentine's Day?
I would gift yourself first, because we live with ourselves. Just treat yourself to something nice. Even if you go shopping that day, you have the whole weekend, you know, it's just do something different.
Well, Lori, thank you so much for taking the time this morning. We appreciate it. If you want to learn more about Lori, you could head to her website, GreenwichMatchmaker.com.
Thank you so much, and happy Valentine's Day to all.
When you write XO, what does it mean, Raven?
Well, I don't write it all the time, but it means XO would mean kiss, hug. Kiss, hug.
Kiss, hug. But kiss, we hug. Say hugs and kisses.
Do we?
Yeah.
I don't walk around and randomly say that all the time, but I get what you're saying.
It's Anna and Raven. I often write XO when I'm signing something, and this all comes up because yesterday, me and my 10-year-old daughter, Hayden, were going to buy Valentine's.
Sure, got to fill them out for the entire class.
Yeah, all of it. We went to go do that run, and she asked me, she goes, we say hugs and kisses. And I go, yes.
Okay,
And she's like, but then why do we write XO? Shouldn't it be OX? Because the X is the kiss, right?
Right.
And I was like, what?
Side note, do you write them all the same size, or do you do big hugs and big kisses and all that stuff too? Big X's
capital,
versus little ones,
yeah,
too?
Capital X, capital O.
Okay.
O, capital X, capital O.
But if they're
O.
all capitals, then you're kissing with the same enthusiasm as you're hugging the whole time.
Right.
I like to do a variance. Small X's, big X's. Small O's, big O's.
Oh, that would aggravate me, the ADD.
Now I'm
okay.
I'm holding on to you for 20 minutes.
So I was trying to figure it out, because I'm like, she kind of has a point. Like, I always assume that the X means kiss, and that the O means hug.
Of course.
But I didn't actually know why, so I thought I would do a little research, and it's fascinating.
What do you got?
This goes back, X's and O's, goes back to medieval times.
Oh, Prima Nocta? That seems odd.
So what they did in medieval times is they started using the X, and that was the symbol for kiss. And a lot of reasons people say, the overall consensus, is that it was the symbol of a way a person's mouth puckers when they kiss, or when two people kissing looking from above. Which is very advanced for medieval times, I guess, if you think about it.
It does seem very forward-thinking. You know what else was big in medieval times?
What?
Bronze. The plague.
Okay. Yeah.
Gout.
Eating with your hands.
Yes, that's true.
Now I just think about medieval times where they go and they joust.
No manicures.
No.
No manicures.
So I was like, well, how did they get the O? this is even the crazier part.
Okay.
One of the oldest games in history is tic-tac-toe, and they use X's and O's.
Okay, but what does that have to do with a hug?
I don't know.
So it's just that X's and O's were readily acceptable as the only binary notations we had of the day.
I mean, this is all the research I found online, so who knows for sure.
Right, when you say it all together in quick succession, it sounds like you're going to make a point. It's just, you didn't. But that's okay.
But that's what they said. To think about the fact that we say X's and O's, which means hugs and kisses, which in reality should mean kisses and hugs because it's backwards. And the whole reason why I came from that is because tic-tac-toe in medieval times... What?
Mind blown. Hundreds of years later.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy. But it's as crazy as watching one of those shows where a guy finds the old Anglo-Saxon gold with his metal detector.
Okay, that too. But here's what I think we should start using instead. S-W-A-K. During World War I, soldiers and sailors used that as their love language because it means sealed with a kiss. And I like that. SWAK.
But then you have to mail an actual letter nowadays. Nobody does that.
Yeah, but you can text SWAK, S-W-A-K.
You're not sealing it. You're sending it.
Oh. Well, sending it with the kiss
still
means the
same thing. Talk to your other medieval interpretists and see what else you can come up with.
All right. Well, now you've learned something.
Thank you.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every weekday morning, a couple joins us. They tell us their problem, and then you judge who's right. Kayla and Jack. Kayla, let's start with you. What's going on?
I have been sort of fibbing to my friends for years about my age. My husband, Jack, he thinks it's ridiculous. We met our group of friends about 5 years ago, so I told them I was 35, but I was really 40 because they were all in their late 20s, and I just didn't want to be looked at as like the old fogey.
So you lied about your age?
So I lied about my age. It's not a big deal. And you know what? Like, age is a state of mind. Who cares about the number? Whatever. But now I'm turning 45 and all of our friends think it's my 40th and they want to take me / us to Vegas since it's a big birthday. And Jack thinks it's gone too far and that I should come clean. But I'm like, why? I can just keep pretending.
It's kind of like fraud if they're going to take you on vacation. I mean, that does feel a bit much.
Right.
Having extra candles on the cake is one thing, but having somebody else pay for you guys to go to Las Vegas under the guise of it's your 40th birthday when it's, in reality it's your 45th. I mean, that does feel like it's gone too far. Like, maybe it is time to clarify this.
Jack?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
Good.
Yeah, I'm, listen, I love her no matter what age she is, and she just needs to own up to this. I think this is just ridiculous. Honesty is the best policy any way you slice it. If you love your friends are going to love you. They're going to take you to Vegas no matter what. And I think it's a time where she just owns up and she'll feel better about herself. I'm going to feel better about the whole situation. But, I mean, this whole thing is ridiculous.
I don't know how you even kept it secret that long. I mean,
Five years.
I feel like there would have been, you know, slip after slip after slip. And sooner or later, the friends would have got together and been like, no, this isn't possible. But good for you for looking good enough to pull it off, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's the thing, Kayla. You say that age ain't nothing but a number and that, you know, it doesn't bother you. But clearly it does if you felt like you had to lie to these people who eventually became your good friends. They may see your side. If that's what you want to say, it's nobody's business but your own. And you can keep your secret as long as you want. But they may see Jack's side, too, that it's obnoxious that you lie to these people, especially now that they've become so close to you that they want to take you away to celebrate your 40th. Do you both agree to listen to what our audience has to say?
Yeah, I can't wait.
Yeah, of course.
Can't imagine they're going to support this.
Great. Whose side are you on? Call or text 1-800-330-9999. It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
So Kayla's been lying about her age. Let's just be honest. She told these new friends in her life that she was 5 years younger than she actually is. And they've become very close friends. And now she's in this situation where they want to go to Vegas for her 40th because it's a big milestone. And her husband, Jack, he says you got to come clean.
Make no mistake. This argument has been going on for a little bit now because they have been friends with this group of people that she lied to for 5 or 6 years at this point. Now they're coming up on this milestone. He thinks it's going too far by saying, you know what, don't let them take us to Vegas under this guise of this lie. Just tell them the truth.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
I'm on her side. I just think it'll be awkward if she was to tell him the truth. And I mean, it's not her age, so why not just keep going with it?
I think if somebody is buying your ticket, first off, don't they have to fill out a birth date when they buy your ticket? Right?
Well, you're taking you to Vegas. I'm sure you buy your own.
An airline ticket or whatever, if they're going to register you as a guest, like, It's just a house of cards. I'm not waiting for everybody to discover around me that I've been dishonest with them.
Yes and no.
I mean, can understand why you tell somebody at the first point. I think their friends would understand, too. But when you're like, hey, you don't have to pay for this for me because here's the thing. I think they'll be like, oh, that's funny. You know what? We're still going to take you. Give them the option.
I don't know. It's a tricky, tricky thing to be involved in. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court with Anna and Raven. When Kayla first met these new friends, they were all couples. She was significantly older than them. So she lied about her age because she kind of felt funny. She told them that she was 5 years younger than she actually is.
She didn't want to be viewed as the outsider there. And now they've gone on. They've become great friends. So much so at this point that all of her friends want to take her to Las Vegas and her husband, Joe. With them to Vegas to celebrate this milestone birthday, which actually happened 5 years ago.
Right. So they think she's 40. She's really turning 45. Whose side are you on? You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Let's check the text line. Let's see. Hi, this is Rosa. Hey, Rosa. I'm on the guy's side. I think her lie has gone far. If they are friends, she should let them know the truth because they are paying for a false birthday. It's not really a false birthday. It's just not the birthday they think it is.
But yeah, okay. But do we celebrate every year after 40 going, hey, you're still alive? Well, we don't celebrate it quite the same way until you get to 50 after that one.
It's true. Let's see other ones. I agree with the husband. The truth will always come out and your friends will be more hurt the longer it goes. That's like a good point. Like when you find out eventually, you're like, why did you lie for so long? At the beginning, you understand.
Right. If you said to them, listen, I met you guys and I really liked you guys and I wanted to spend more time with you guys and I just wanted to have a fair shake.
Yeah.
You know, they might think to themselves, well, you know what? I mean, that's kind of shallow to think that we wouldn't give you a fair shake. At the same time, they might realize that, you know what? I'm glad it worked that way because obviously we are good friends.
Yeah. A lot of people are voting on his side on text 1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven.
I am definitely on the husband's side. I think honesty is the best policy. Age is just a number. And I think if her friends are really great friends and they're going to understand, they're going to think she's ridiculous and laugh at her, and they'll just go on and celebrate 45 years instead of 40.
I mean, I agree with you, but how do you land yourself in this position in the first place?
That it goes that long.
Right.
I mean, you're trying to make friends at first. It's tricky. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm on the husband's side because he's right. Honesty at this point is the best policy. And to take her for her 40th birthday, like she's lying about it. If I were a friend, I'd be pissed if I found that out later on.
I would just not understand. Like, if you're my friend, why do you think I would care? Why do you think that I would be upset about this?
Yeah, if you're my friend, I don't care how old you are.
Right.
And why would? And then you're making me take. I'm thinking it's your 40th birthday. I no.
Yeah. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on his side. She has to tell them because they're going to think it's funny, you know, and they might still want to go to Vegas anyway just as like a birthday party, but I mean, they're already friends. They like her as a person. They're going to think it's hilarious that she lied to them.
I agree. I would laugh it off. I would totally be like, you got to be kidding me. Why would you do that?
But you laugh it off if they tell you. You don't laugh it off if you discover it by other means, I don't think.
Right. Then it just becomes strange.
And now it's kind of like an opening, like it's a way for her to tell them. It's like an opportunity for her.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Jack, our audience agreed with you. Kayla, people just felt like it was wrong. It was one thing if you were going to go out and celebrate or locally, whatever. But the fact that they want to pay to send you on vacation to celebrate a milestone that doesn't exist, it happened 5 years ago, people felt it was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but they want to celebrate with me and... So they just weren't in my life when they wanted to do it. They just didn't know me, so they're just catching up.
I mean, what you're saying sounds like a lot of nonsense. I'm going to be honest with you.
Right.
Yeah, you're just coming
Thank
up
you.
With excuses.
Right. I mean, I'd be like, whatever. If I'm supposed to be your friend and that's what you tell me in the answer, once I tell you that it kind of bothers me, like, I'd be really upset. But that's something for you to take into account, I guess.
Totally. And I think the longer it lasts, the harder it's going to be to break that ice.
All right. Well, if you have a problem, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
You already know TMZ breaking news before it breaks.
I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm ready to take on the Catalina wine mixer.
Spend hours a day stalking your favorite celebs on Twitter.
My t-shirt's stuck to my sweater, isn't it?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Answer questions with obscure movie quotes.
Are you asking me for a divorce?
Yeah!
It's time to use that useless knowledge and play Can't Beat Raven.
Hey, Deborah, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you please leave the room?
Sure, Deborah. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right, Deborah. Raven is walking out of here. When that door closes, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You answer them as quickly as you can. I'll invite him back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you could beat him, I'm going to give you a $100 gift card to Dunkin'. You ready?
Sure.
Number 1, Cindy Crawford's son got a face tattoo with the word misunderstood. What soda brand did she famously endorse? Cindy Crawford.
Right. Pepsi?
Number 2, Janet Jackson announced a new tour and album. What boy band member caused her halftime show wardrobe malfunction?
Justin Timberlake.
Number 3, today is National Make of New Friend Day. What friend played Joey Tribbiani?
Oh, I can picture his face, but I can't think of his name.
That's okay. We'll move on.
Number
4. When Eminem was asked if he enjoyed finally performing at the Oscars, he said yes because he got to hug Salma Hayek. What famous Mexican painter did Salma Hayek portray in a 2002 movie?
Frida.
And number 5. Oscars posted the lowest viewership in history, down 20% from last year. What movie won Best Picture on Sunday night?
Parasite.
All right. A great job. Let me bring Raven back in. Raven.
Thanks.
Yo.
Deborah did great. She got 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5 is pretty good. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, Cindy Crawford's son got a face tattoo of the word misunderstood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine being a mom and, yep. Okay.
Yeah, what, she hasn't responded yet, I don't think.
What's she going to say? You know?
Right.
What soda brand did she famously endorse?
Pepsi.
Yeah, Pepsi is correct. Remember all those commercials in the 90s?
I mean, she's just wonderful. She's still wonderful.
Yeah. Number 2, Janet Jackson announced a new tour and album. What boy band member caused her halftime show wardrobe malfunction?
Timberlake
is correct. I rewatched that video yesterday after I wrote that question.
It's no big deal.
It's not a big deal. And, like, why was it always her fault when it really was Justin Timberlake's fault?
Because they planned it, dude.
Right.
You watch that video. There's no way that was not something that they both were like, sure, I'm going to do that.
Right. Number 3, today is National Make a New Friend Day. What friend played Joey Tribbiani?
Matt LeBlanc.
That is correct. I didn't think you'd get that. He's such an easy one to forget. I don't know why.
I think only if you watched the show and based it on merit. Other than that, no, you remember Joey. He's
number
the dumb
4.
One.
Well, when Eminem was asked if he enjoyed finally performing at the Oscars, he said yes because he got to hug Salma Hayek. What famous Mexican painter does Salma Hayek portray in a 2002 movie?
Oh, gosh. I would have known this years ago. I don't know.
It's Frida.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Yeah,
she's the most famous, I would say.
I like Frida on my Olive Garden meals. I like to get the shrimp Frida.
No, it's Frita. Yeah. That's very different.
Well, I spell it Frida.
Well, here's the thing. You need this last one to tie Deborah, otherwise she's going to win.
I'm extremely nervous.
Number 5, Oscars posted the lowest viewership in history, down 20% from last year.
Right.
What movie won Best Picture?
The movie that just won Best Picture this weekend?
Yes, this past weekend. Parasite is correct.
Yes.
You guys tied at 4, Deborah. I can't give you the win, but I will give you an Anna and Raven t-shirt because it's a tie.
It's a sweet shirt. I wish I could attest to that. They won't give me one.
Well, there's a limited amount. They're collector's items.
My name's Deborah, and I could not beat Raven.
She came close, though. You're going to have your shot to take him down coming up tomorrow morning, but you get the cheat sheet. The first 2 answers to tomorrow's 5 pop culture questions. That's coming up in the 5 o'clock hour.
Better luck next time.
That moment. When you realize that you've lost something and you start panicking and you feel your chest tighten and you start looking around frantically.
Oh, I'm going to vomit. Oh, I'm going to vomit. Why are you doing this to me with anxiety right now?
Santa and Raven, it happened to me. Sunday morning, I teach Zumba on the side. I taught my Zumba class and it was a good class and I was super sweaty.
Feeling good about yourself.
Yes.
Right, life is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's exactly when those moments usually tend to hit.
Right. So I finish the class. I say goodbye to everybody. I go on my merry way. I check out. I walk out of the Y. I go.
And then what?
I get in the car. Where's my pocketbook?
Oh, no.
I was like, wait a minute. Wait, hold on.
It's a big one.
It's a giant purse.
Right.
How did I walk?
Could be anything in there.
From the class to the checkout, through the doors,
yep.
In the parking lot, to my car, and didn't realize I don't have my pocketbook.
And you have to, you know, say to yourself, I brought it in, right? I had to bring it in.
Yeah, and I had my car keys in my jacket pocket, so I was able to get in my car to check really quick to make sure I had brought it in. It wasn't in my car.
Right.
So now the frantic starts. So I run back in, and I start retracing my steps, and I say to the people at the front, I go, have you seen my purse? And I try to keep calm.
Isn't it funny how, we run into a store, and we're completely, we're at the mercy of natural forces at the point. Wind could blow us over. We could lose our mind. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, we have to act like it's not a big deal.
Right.
I do the same thing. You're just like, no big deal. I think I left my purse here. Did you guys see it?
Did you see my purse? Right. My wallet and everything I own?
I had to text a buddy at the bar the other day. No big deal. I think my wife left her $1,200 phone there. Right. Can you immediately stop everything that you're doing and look for it?
Oh, man.
So you don't look panicked. You look normal.
I'm trying to look normal and calm.
What a strange thing
situation
that
you have
do.
To be into. You have to act strange and smile on your face and be completely normal.
Right.
But inside, you're in sheer panic and you're like, oh my. And you start thinking about all the things that are
that
in
could
that
be,
bag.
And what could be happening with it.
Right,
right now, somebody's moved into your bag. It's a large purse. Somebody's living in it in the back.
So then I go to the locker room.
Somebody's stolen your childhood photos.
Go to the locker room. I go to the locker. It's not there. I start looking around. And then you have to make the announcement in the locker room. Hi! Right.
Hey!
Did anybody see my bag?
Right.
Did anyone?
I mean, I know it was right here in this locker, and I'll totally accept any weird BS excuse you give me to having it over by the sink right now, but please just give it back.
So then I wake my way back to the room where I taught the class, and there's another class going on.
Right.
So now I have to signal to the instructor, and she's looking at me
Do you stop her from dancing, Zumba dancing, or do you just get up? Do you grab pace with her and then slide in next to her and then make the announcement yourself?
She was teaching a weight training class, so she covered the mic with her hand, and she looked at me, and she's like, yes.
Like, what?
I go, I think I may have left my purse here. So now she looked at me, and I'm like, the class is packed.
Right.
Did anybody see her purse?
Right.
And everyone's kind of looking around. Nope.
Right.
So now I'm like, where? So now I don't know what to do. And now you start sweating.
Right.
Because you're
you're still trying to hold the straight face.
Right.
But now you're truly
panic.
My it's
wallet.
Gone.
All my makeup is in there. Everything.
And every 20% off coupon for Bed Bath & Beyond.
Well, how am I going to buy my towels?
Right. What will happen? Right.
So I finally go and I sit down to where the checkout is because I'm trying to figure out what do I do now.
You're ready to sob. Well, you're ready to just break down and cry.
Right. Because I'm like, how am I going to explain to my husband that we have to call every... I don't even know how many credit cards I have in there.
Right.
And I look over and I must have put it under the desk when I was checking out.
For safekeeping.
Who knows? I've never done that before. And there it was just sitting there. And just like nothing happened, I threw it over my shoulder and I ran out the
door. Walked right out. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. And it was the most stressful moment of my life. And I got to thinking, what did you lose and how did you find it? 1-800-330-9999. What did you lose and how did you find it? 1-800-330-9999. You can call or text. I lost my purse and my wallet, everything this weekend. And I had never been in so much panic. Like, the sweat that was dripping from my body as I tried to, stay calm.
You have to remain calm outwardly because you don't want the world to know that you're in a panic because then they say to themselves, what's in that purse?
Right.
There must be gold bars in that purse. I want that purse.
I'm thinking, I don't even know the amount of credit cards. I don't even know which ones are in there.
You're not allowed to spend off any of them anyways at this point.
Concert tickets in there. Ski lift passes. I mean, it was crazy.
But now you got it back.
I did. I found it. I finally found it in a place I don't even remember leaving it. But 1-800-330-9999. We asked on our Facebook page. Loretta wrote, one time I was shopping at Lord & Taylor's at the cosmetic counter, and I bought all different kinds of lotions and makeup. I got on the train and I left it on the train and I never got it back.
The lotions and stuff that?
That stuff is so annoying because it's so small and it's so
expensive. It's expensive.
Oh, man.
You know, somebody came across that and was like, and plus on top of it, they're like, this is going to take in my wrinkles.
Yeah.
Not only is it a good score, it's a time capsule.
Loretta says she went back to Lord & Taylor's the following day to have to rebuy the same thing. The lady recognized
her. That's the worst.
And she said they were actually really nice and they gave her a lot of free samples because they felt so bad for her.
Well, that's nice.
Imagine having to pay for that $40 lotion a second time.
Panic. A couple weekends ago, I was out with my wife. She left her phone at the bar that we're regulars at. And, it's that moment where you're waiting, you send the response, and even there, knowing them, having the number for somebody to contact them, texting back, I'll look for it, no problem. The next 2.5 minutes while you wait, they're like, what are you doing? You're just waiting. Like, how are you busy? How dare you?
1-800-330-9999. We'll get your calls next. Debbie wrote on our Facebook page that right now, I can't find the shoes that I wore yesterday to work. I have no idea where they are. You ever lose your shoes?
I lose clothes. Yeah, at least one half of something, right? It's always the time that you're looking for something, too.
Yeah.
It's when you're looking for that specific item and you say to yourself, you convince yourself, I know exactly where that is. And yeah, you have no idea. You're off by two rooms or a laundry cycle.
Santa and Raven, this comes up over the weekend. I lost my purse, my wallet, everything in there. It was a full panic after I had taught a Zumba class. And I finally found it, but it was the most stressful 20 minutes of my life.
Sure.
You know, that panic.
You're sweat drenched. You're running around. You start thinking about all the other things that you're going to have to deal with that are associated with losing that item. Who you're going to have to explain it to.
I got to go Sephora. I need to buy new makeup.
Attacking my family and my items and my finances as we speak?
My daughter's favorite thing that she sucks on is on there. She's teething right now.
Oh, terrible.
So we asked on our Facebook page, what did you lose and how did you find it? Joanne also wrote, I lost my Pandora bracelet. It meant so much to me. My son and hubby had been giving me all the charms, and I was devastated. My mom told me to pray to St. Anthony, and I did. I told her it wasn't working, but a couple months later, my husband was looking for the remote. He took off the cushion of the couch, and there it was. Let me ask you something about St. Anthony. You ever hear about St. Anthony? You pray to him when you lose something.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Like you lose something. But here's what you're supposed to pray.
What?
St. Anthony, you dirty crook, give me back what you took. And I never felt right about that.
Seems upsetting.
Because he didn't take it.
Right.
He's helping you find it.
How about this?
I don't think we should call him a dirty crook. It seems wrong.
How about before you face the heavens, turn to the heavens of the deities for a little bit of blessing to find your item? You check under the couch cushion, you lazy butt. I mean, who doesn't check under the couch cushion? Isn't that automatically the first place you go, that and under your car seat?
1-800-330-9999. It's Anna and Raven. What did you lose, and did you find it?
I took my 3-year-old daughter and my 5-year-old son to see Santa Claus. And my 3-year-old, it was her first time really aware, and she was getting a little bit crazy. And she's running all over the place, and I grab her, and all of a sudden I turn around, and I don't see my son. So at first I'm like, Joey, and then within a minute I'm like screaming, Joey. I'm looking all over the stores, in the general area. I see him nowhere, and now people are seeing me panicking. One of the things that I started, and it saved my butt, was anytime we would go somewhere, I would find a landmark. So in this case, it was a great big inflatable gingerbread man. And when we walked in and I said, if we ever get separated, go to that gingerbread man and I'll look for you there. And it was the worst 20 minutes of my life.
I'm sure that is a terrifying moment for a parent. Thank you for sharing your story. Here's the good news. You got him back. So everything worked out okay.
Congratulations.
Yes, I did.
Anna and Raven, what did you lose and how did you find it?
I left my pocketbook in the shopping cart at Target. Proceeded to put all of my groceries in the car, had my kids with me. We were in a rush because we were going on vacation the next day. So my pocketbook was loaded with $400 cash, my phone, my credit cards, everything. Got into the car, got on the highway, was ready to drive to the next store. We get out of the car and I say, okay, where's my pocketbook? And my daughter's like, I don't know. What did you do with it? We go back in the car. I race down the highway, go back to the Target parking lot. I find the shopping cart. My pocketbook was still in the cart.
There's good people out there. There's good people that
she just said that she drove like a maniac down the highway. What good person was involved with this?
No, because
the person that dove out of the way.
So
what are you talking about?
Because somebody saw that purse and they didn't take it. They just left it there.
I mean, why wouldn't they just turn it in if they're so good?
Daylight.
Well, yeah. Turned out a lot of people haven't heard my version of that St. Anthony thing. So we were just talking about things that you lost. And growing up, I've always heard you have to say, St. Anthony, you dirty crook, give me back what you took. And it never sat right with me because I always thought, like, it's not St. Anthony's fault you lost something. You're asking for his help. Why would you call him a name? It didn't make sense.
Feels a little pushy when dealing with a saint that you should come from such a condescending area.
Right.
Unless, of course, you're the Lord.
Right. So Susanna sent us a message. She said, hers is St. Anthony, please look around. Something has lost and cannot be found.
Seems so much nicer.
Sophia wrote, whenever I lose something, I say St. Anthony, Tony. She calls him Tony, like Tony.
Tony. Feels good.
Tony, look around. My blank is lost and must be found. And I repeat it until I find whatever I lost. Works like a gem every time.
Huh.
I like that she calls him Tony. Like it's like a 90s R&B band.
No, she said Tony.
Tony.
But you can't stop.
I can't stop.
It's like a speed bump. You get to the second one and you just roll right into the third one. You can't actually stop there.
Tony has done it again. He's found it.
All right.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.